Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Ashton Woodling. Joining me today is Ed Brzezinski. M. Edward Brzezinski's legal career spans more than three decades and includes 12 years as general counsel of a community bank, providing him with practical industry experience that informs his approach to client service. Ed regularly delivers commercial loan documentation for financial institutions, including commercial construction, real estate, and asset-based credit facilities, with an understanding of the internal challenges facing his clients. He also negotiates with borrower representatives, title companies, and other parties, moving the transaction to closing while protecting the lender's interests. Ed received his JD from the University of Houston Bates College of Law and his Bachelor's of Science degree in accounting from Michigan State University. Ed, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you. So, Ed, one of the traditions we have in Banking Matters is to ask everyone to share their journey that led them into banking, because no one grows up dreaming of becoming a banker. So tell me, how did you find yourself in financial services?
Well, that is an interesting question. It's a pretty circuitous route that I took, but basically I've been in public accounting for a while, which is very similar to banking. And then attended law school, and out of law school, I went into private practice. And through my networking connections, I got to know some bankers, and I really felt comfortable working with them. Eventually, an opportunity opened up where I could be general counsel of a community bank. And so I jumped at that opportunity and really enjoyed it. It was a great experience.
That's great. That is awesome to hear that you work with community banks too, because that is the bulk of our listenership. So we visited earlier and decided that we would talk about the new beneficial ownership rules. So would you mind sharing with me just a history of what has happened with beneficial ownership and where we're at today?
You bet. So originally, beneficial ownership information became important to financial institutions with the advent of the customer due diligence rules. And those became effective in 2016 and became mandatory in 2018. So ever since then, financial institutions have been having to request beneficial ownership information of particular customers. And so we've been living under that rubric since 2018. But there has been a major change that came about with the advent of the Corporate Transparency Act.
Got it. So what does that change look like then for banks? So today we complete our beneficial ownership certification forms. What's that going to look like for banks?
Well, some of it is still up in the air, and we'll get into that a little bit later in this podcast, I'm sure. But back in December of 2021, Congress and the president signed off on legislation called the Corporate Transparency Act, which was designed to help thwart against international money laundering and things like that, and particularly, bad actors who were using entities as kind of a shell to hide their illicit activities. So the Corporate Transparency Act requires FinCEN to issue certain regulations dealing with the accumulation of beneficial ownership information from a large swath of business entities in the United States. Pursuant to that legislation, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask, why do we need to accumulate this? Like, how is that data going to be used?
Well, it'll be available to law enforcement agencies who are trying to track down money launderers and terrorist activity, things of that nature.
Thank you.
So, FinCEN was charged then with the responsibility of issuing regulations to deal with how this beneficial information will be collected, what information will be collected, and the legislation recognizes the fact that financial institutions already have this customer due diligence rule out there. And so they want that to be conformed to this new regime under the Corporate Transparency Act. So FinCEN has been busy issuing proposed and final regulations dealing with all of these things.
So it sounds like there are three pieces here, right? So what has to be reported, and then how we would, I guess, as banks use that information, and then that CDD piece. Is that right?
That's about right. You could break it down into three main rules, what we call the reporting rule, which deals with who has to report, what information has to be reported, when they have to report it, and there's also an enforcement mechanism to incentivize businesses to comply with this law. Then there's also the access rule. The access rule deals with the database that FinCEN has created to accumulate all of this beneficial information. So the access rule addresses who has the right to access that database, for what purposes, and it also imposes some safeguards to protect that database. Then the final set of rules is the conforming rule to blend the current CDD or customer due diligence rules to conform to this new setup with FinCEN.
Got it. So does this apply then to all entities or only certain folks?
Yeah, it's a very large population database that is going to be affected by this. Under the old or the existing CDD rules, we have this legal entity concept. And the under these new rules, particularly under the reporting rule, they have a new term and a new definition, the term being a reporting entity. And FinCEN estimates that it's probably going to affect over 32 million businesses that are currently in existence in the United States. So it's a massive undertaking here to compile this database, which, by the way, takes effect January 1 of next year. They go into great detail in defining what a reporting company is. And if you like, I can go through that with you.
Yeah, I love that. When we talk about the timing, I just want to make sure I understand. So it goes into effect January 1. So does that mean that the database will be complete January 1, or that entities will start reporting as of January 1?
Good question. The January 1 date is when the database will be open to receiving this information. And so reporting companies, and we'll get into what those are, reporting companies will have to submit this beneficial ownership information to FinCEN onto their database. So with respect to what constitutes a reporting company, there are basically two main types, a domestic reporting company and a foreign reporting company. So a domestic reporting company would be corporations, LLCs, and any other entity that is formed by filing a document with the Secretary of State of a state or a similar office under state or Indian tribal laws. So there's the domestic reporting company. There's also foreign reporting companies, and it's basically the same kind of entities, but they're formed under the laws of a foreign country, and then they come to the United States and register to do business in the United States by filing a document with the Secretary of State and so forth. So we have those two main categories of what constitutes a reporting company. But there are some exceptions to that rule, and the Corporate Transparency Act itself has actually listed 23 types of entities that are exempt from having to report their beneficial ownership information. And I want to highlight the fact that the onus is on the reporting entities themselves. It's not the financial institutions. The reporting companies have the obligation to report this beneficial ownership information to FinCEN. But getting back to the exemptions from the law, entities that don't have to report. Our friends in the audience will be happy to note that financial institutions and their holding companies are exempt from reporting. So are domestic governmental authorities, certain tax-exempt entities. And then there's a really big category called large operating companies. So large operating companies are defined under the regulations as an entity that employs more than 20 full-time employees in the United States, files a federal income tax return, possibly on a consolidated basis, and reports more than $5 million in gross receipts or sales in the prior year, and has an operating presence at a physical office in the U.S. So
really what we're looking here is for small businesses, right?
Right. So they are going after mom and pop, shops and things like that. Other exemptions would include the type of entities that are already reporting similar information to the government, like those that are registered with the SEC and things like that. The fact that a large operating company definition involves annual income can mean that one year it could be a large operating company and is exempt from reporting, but then the next year they don't have as good a year, they have less money coming in, and they're under the $5 million threshold, then they become a reporting company that has to report. So that's something that can fluctuate from year to year.
That's interesting. So how do you expect, I guess we'll talk in a moment about how banks have to interact with this, but I'm interested to hear how banks would deal then with those businesses that might fluctuate from year to year, whether they report.
Well, again, the bank is not responsible for reporting the beneficial ownership information under this law. So the part about conforming the current customer due diligence rules with these new rules has yet to be promulgated. And so we have to wait and see exactly how that's going to shake out.
Gotcha. So how will banks access this information, or how will they be expected to use this information?
So under the access rule, which right now the access rule has been promulgated as a proposed rule and had a comment period that ended on February 14th of this year, we're still awaiting the final version of it, but under the access rule, financial institutions can access this FinCEN database by submitting a certification saying, we're doing this. The only reason we're accessing the database is for customer due diligence purposes and no other. And we have gotten a written consent from our customer to access that information. Also, the rules require that the bank maintain that consent in writing and hold it for at least 5 years. when this proposed rule came out, there was significant concern in the banking industry about the restrictions on what the bank can do with this beneficial ownership information. As I mentioned, the rule says it can only be used for customer due diligence purposes. The problem is banks are used to using this information for other purposes, like for filing a SAR, a suspicious activity report, or for doing an OFAC check and other things. But the way this proposed rule was written, we would have to silo this off if you access that database. Silo that off and only use it for customer due diligence purposes. So the American Bankers Association filed a comment with FinCEN, and it was joined by all 50 state banking associations to express concern over the limited ability to use this information. It raises the question of whether it's really of any use to a financial institution if they're going to have to go back to their customer and get the same information again, but use it for different purposes. So it remains to be seen what that final rule will have to say about this. We're hoping that they will broaden that and allow it to be used for these other purposes, but that remains to be seen.
So if it continues the way it's currently proposed, do you sort of foresee banks not really accessing this database at all?
You know, it looks like they would have to be acquiring the same information from two different sources. And so it is quite problematical the way it exists at this time. FinCEN has announced last spring proposed final rulemaking schedules, and we anticipate that the final rule for this access rule may come out before the end of this year, but it remains to be seen.
Got it. So let's talk for a minute then about the permission that the banks have to get from their customers to access this information. Let's say we have a business with multiple owners. Would the signature from one owner be sufficient?
You know, off the top of my head, I don't recall. I think because the beneficial information deals with entities, I think if you get the consent from the entity, the reporting company, it's the reporting company that submits all of the beneficial ownership information. And we haven't actually gone into what that information is. But it's information about the reporting company itself, its beneficial owners, and also another category that's new to us, company applicants. So it's the reporting companies that have to submit this to FinCEN. So I would anticipate that the rule would require consent from the reporting company that submitted it.
So tell me a little bit more about that new piece of information that you just mentioned, the applicants.
Yeah, company applicants. So this is a new defined term under these rules. Company applicant is any person who has assisted with or did it from start to finish, assisted with the filing instrument that gets filed with the Secretary of State to create that particular entity. So many times companies will hire an attorney to do this for them, you know, help me set up my new business. So they will, you know, an attorney might draft a certificate of formation and ask a paralegal to file that with the Secretary of State. Both of those individuals would be considered a company applicant. And when the rule first came out as a proposed rule, it was going to apply to every entity that has to report. They also have to report who their company applicant was. Well, they got some really interesting responses to that, like, my company is over 100 years old. We haven't a clue who filed our certificate of formation or articles of incorporation. And so to FinCEN's credit, they took that into consideration. And before they issued the final version of the reporting rule, they said, okay, company applicant information is only applicable for reporting entities that are formed on or after January 1 of 2024.
Interesting. That's better. So I guess I'm thinking through, how would this be used? Like, what's the point, right? So if we have, for instance, an attorney who maybe specializes in this, that attorney could be, I don't know, linked through multiple entities. What do you think that, I guess, how would that benefit FinCEN to know?
Well, again, all of this goes back to law enforcement against money laundering and terrorist activities and so forth. So if they know who assisted the entity in forming this particular entity, then that may be a path for them to follow to try to track down just who is involved in this illicit activity, if there isn't. So, you know, if you watch the old Godfather movies, you know, you had that one guy that was their consigliere, you know, he would have been one of the guys to file a certificate of formation. So, you know, they're trying to track down people like that and then maybe be able to put some pressure on them to turn state's evidence and so forth. That would be my guess.
Interesting. I love hearing that aspect, kind of the why and what the outcome would be, right? And thank you for tying it back to the movies. That's more my level. Okay, so let's talk future looking then. I know that you mentioned that the sort of link to CDD and those updates haven't been issued yet, but what do you expect, or what has FinCEN kind of proposed that would look like?
Well, they really haven't given us much of a clue. They've only said that, hey, we're charged with conforming the existing customer due diligence rules to this new regime under the Corporate Transparency Act. Some of the things I would anticipate them doing then is changing the definitions that we're used to under the beneficial ownership rules under CDD. So as I mentioned, under CDD, we got this legal entity customer concept, but now we're going to have reporting company. In some ways, it's broader than our existing beneficial ownership rules, and in some ways, it's more restrictive. For example, currently, the beneficial ownership information we have to collect from our customers would include an entity like a general partnership. But in most states, general partnerships do not file anything with the Secretary of State to create that entity. Under this new rule, a reporting company is somebody that sets up a company by filing a document with the Secretary of State. So actually, a general partnership might not be considered a reporting entity for these new rules. A limited partnership, though, does file with the Secretary of State. So limited partnerships would be reporting entities under the new rule.
Interesting. So I know right now we're looking at folks who earn or who own a certain percentage of an entity, right? That's who we consider the beneficial owners. Is that definition the same under the CTA?
It works a little bit differently. And so what constitutes a beneficial owner? They have their own definition under the new rule. And it's any individual who owns or controls at least 25% of the ownership interests of a reporting company, or exercises substantial control over a reporting company. And then FinCEN goes into great detail about what constitutes an ownership interest and what constitutes substantial control. And those terms are broader than what we're used to seeing. And as a result, a reporting company can have multiple beneficial owners, and there's no maximum number of beneficial owners who must be reported. So that's a significant change from what we're seeing today.
Yeah, that kind of gives me almost Reg O vibes when we talk about the influence aspect. That's quite a bit broader than what we look at right now. Okay, well, Ed, thanks for joining me today. This has been really illuminating, and I'm kind of nervous to see what FinCEN comes out with later this year, maybe. If you could share one piece of advice with our listeners, either related to beneficial ownership or anything else, what would that be?
Well, I would say for the time being, even though your customers are going to have to start reporting to FinCEN beginning next year, we're still under the customer due diligence rules until FinCEN comes out with something else. And so for the financial institutions themselves, I think they have to just continue to gather the beneficial ownership information that they've been doing since 2018 and keep their eyes open, tune in to these podcasts and other sources, check with their favorite attorney, and make sure that they're up to date on what FinCEN is doing in this regard. We anticipate that FinCEN will issue this conforming rule possibly before the end of 2023, and then have a comment period that'll probably be pretty quick. It could be just a 30-day window or so. Under the Corporate Transparency Act, FinCEN is supposed to have these conforming rules set up within a year of the effective date of the reporting rules. And as I mentioned, the reporting rules begin January 1 of next year. So FinCEN has until January 1 of 2025 to get a final conforming rule. Until we get that, it's steady as you go. Continue to follow the customer due diligence rules.
Perfect. So just holding pattern and wait and see what happens. All right. Well, that's perfect. Ed, thank you so much for joining me and sharing with us your knowledge on the beneficial ownership rule. I've really enjoyed having you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
For the rest of you, that's Banking Matters.